Let's come back and pick up verse 11 again. Yes, in him, that is Christ, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth. So this is all about the calling that we have here. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is the begettal which comes from God the Father. So the Holy Spirit contains two elements. One, the begettal of the Father, and two, the Spirit of Christ, so we can have the mind of Christ. So we are sealed. Now, what does this tell us in relation to the 144,000? We can't be part of the 144,000 because they are sealed when? During the tribulation. Yes. Okay. Let's come back here to John 14 and let's see that. Okay. John 14 and then Romans 8. John 14. Now this is why. Let me just mention this. The more you study the Bible and the more you understand the Bible, that only comes through prayer and study and God's Spirit and loving God and all of that. Then you look at the religions of the world and even the religions within the churches of God, and you will see how they're missing the mark so greatly. Now, I just heard a man who's a well-known Sunday-keeping evangelist, and he gave a very good sermon on how to cope with difficulties and problems. And he was very sincere in what he did. And he said the thing that kept him going in times of difficulty was that he had to prepare a sermon for every Sunday. And then when he got to the end, he says, well, we're all going to be in heaven. And so it was very interesting in how he really did not emphasize the Spirit of God, though he gave good steps to do, though he said, look to God and all that sort of thing. And so it is true they have an understanding to a certain point. But you see, this is why with the Spirit of God and constantly study, growing in grace and knowledge, and let's understand this. Never do we arrive until the resurrection. So whatever we know today, that's fine, but we better learn some more down the road. We can never become stagnant because the Spirit of God is not stagnant. And when you become stagnant, you become lukewarm, like it says of the Laodiceans. Okay? Now here, John 14. Come down here to verse 23. Nope, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's how you were called. God the Father and Christ working together. And as I've mentioned before, there is a signal event in your life when you can look back and you can say, that's when it began. Not maybe something that is not spectacular. It wasn't a bolt of lightning from heaven. It wasn't any of that. It was some event in your life that God interacted with you and that event, and you knew that it was God. And you knew that something was different. Now, let's come down here to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That means the whole message of Christ. And my Father will love him, and we. I want to emphasize the we. See? That's why in every introduction of the epistles by Paul, it is grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is we. That's who the we are. That's who the us are. going clear back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay? We will come to him and make our abode with him. Think of that. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous calling. See, so you can look around. If it's a trouble or difficulty, you'll get through it. And when you get through it, and God inspires you, and I found this, whenever I'm really, really, really inspired, then something carnal happens afterwards. That is the operation of being kept humble. Okay? I'm sure you've experienced that, haven't you? Yes, indeed. That's so we always know that it comes from God. Now let's come here to 1 John, the third chapter again. Let's see something else here. We'll look at the Father part of the Spirit that we, 1 John, the third chapter. Verse 9, everyone who has been begotten, because in order to be a son or daughter or children, technon of God, you must receive the Holy Spirit from God the Father as a begettal, so you become his child. Okay? Everyone who has been begotten by God does not practice sin. King James says, cannot sin. That's impossible. Does not practice sin, because God's Spirit will reveal the sin to us so we can repent, you see. Because his seed, and the Greek there is sperma. Sound familiar with human procreation? 1 John 3 and verse 9. Yes. If I said something else, I misled you. Okay. 1 John 3, verse 9. Everyone who has been begotten by God, that's the Father, does not practice sin, because his seed, and obviously that's talking about the seed of begettal, right? His seed of begettal is dwelling within you, and he is not able to practice sin because he has been begotten by God. That's the element from the Father. Now, Romans 8, let's look at the other element of it. Romans 8. And I think, brethren, in understanding God's grace and commandment keeping, that everything from Romans 1:16 through the 8th chapter is one complete unit with all the components to give us understanding. All right, Romans 8 and verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the way that God looks at you, though you still have a fleshly body. You are not categorized as being carnal. You're categorized by God as being spiritual. But in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, and we just saw that it is we, the Father and the Son. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice, verse 11. Now, if the Spirit of Christ be dwelling within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice verse 11. Here is the second component of the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, that's from the Father. That is the begettal. And when it comes time to be born again, he says, now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that is dwelling within you. Now, let's do a little chest beating here, okay? Arm beating, whatever. Paul said that as we have borne the image of the earthy, do we have that? We made of the dust of the earth? Yes. Okay? You walking around in the flesh is a guarantee that you will have a spiritual body, because he says, as we have borne the image of the one of dust, so shall we bear the image of the spiritual. That's why we're made in his image. See? So what we're talking about is not some ethereal thing way out here. We're talking about a realistic thing of how God is spiritually dealing in our lives. And then this helps us to be able to keep our focus, to keep our purpose, to keep our eyes fixed on Christ when there are times of troubles and difficulties and trials, and we're surely going to face them. All right, let's come back here to Ephesians, the first chapter again. Ephesians, the first chapter. Boy, we haven't gotten very far, have we, huh? All right. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, verse 14, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. All right? Not something. God is investing in us, and he's going to cash it in. Think of it that way. All right. Now let's come to Ephesians, the third chapter. And let's see what Paul says. And I think that Ephesians 3 is really one of the most inspiring and uplifting parts of the Bible. So let's see, beginning in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Now isn't it interesting too, that even in trials and difficulties you have sometimes the most important spiritual insights in your life and understanding of God. Isn't that true? That's what Paul had. And this is the time that God decided to give this revelation to Paul and the apostles. If indeed you have heard of the ministration of the grace of God that was given to me for you, how he made known to me by revelation the mystery. That's the secret of God. Even as I wrote briefly before, so that when you read this, you will be able to comprehend my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. How many years is that? Well, over 4,000 years, God didn't make it known. That's amazing, isn't it? So you see, that's why there's the second resurrection, see? There's got to be. Was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Spiritually understood. What did he say? Spiritual things are understood by spiritual means. And what are the spiritual means? Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Spirit of God. And number three, by being able to love God. Those are the spiritual means by which God reveals these things to us. That the Gentiles might be joint heirs of a joint body and joint partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me through the inner workings of his power. So whatever we are to do as ministers and teachers, it has to be with God's inner working of his Spirit, see? To teach, to help, to educate, to uplift. And I found this, brethren, the worst way to correct people is to give a sermon and expose every sin in the congregation and attack every sin publicly. I did that once because that's how we were taught to do it. It took me 2 or 3 years to win back the congregation after that, and I don't do that anymore. The best way for correction is to be inspired to change. Is that not true? Because when you're inspired to change, it's from the inside and you want to. Isn't that correct? When someone is beating you overhead with the Bible, you don't want to change. You may be convicted that, yes, you're wrong, but you see, the real thing to motivate that change is the Spirit of God. So you must be inspired to change. And when you keep this before you and keep this in mind, you're going to want to change, right? Yes, you're not going to want to keep the old carnal things around. No. Get rid of them. Now, notice how Paul viewed himself, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Notice Would that we all, as elders and ministers, keep this same attitude here. See? To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Where's the hierarchy here? It's not there, is it? Was this grace given that I might preach the gospel among the Gentiles, even the unsearchable riches of Christ, which is what we are covering today, and that I might enlighten all as to what is the fellowship of the mystery that has been hidden from ages in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the principalities and powers into heavenly places. Brethren, the knowledge that God gives us, even principalities and powers don't understand. Isn't that something? I mean, think about it. Think about the love of God that he would call us and grant us this knowledge and this understanding. That's fantastic, but it's also tremendously humbling, isn't it? Just like it was with Paul here. Now, verse 11. According to his eternal purpose, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own flesh, that is his sacrifice and his shed blood. So then I beseech you, here he is in chains. Everyone could feel real sorry for him. So he says, I beseech you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are working for your glory. Notice the attitude that he had. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, continually, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Think of that. We're going to be of the family of God. That he might grant you. Now this is what we need right now. More than anything else, more than what the details of the church wars are, this is what we need the most, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man, strengthened with the power and Spirit of God, you see, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That we have the love, we have the faith, we have the hope. What we're talking about here is the hope. And that being rooted and grounded in love, this is why love gives us the understanding, you see? This is why it's so important. I've had people say when they come and visit you that they are astounded at the love that you all have for each other. And that's great, that's wonderful. Because we want, when brethren come in, we want them to be loved, not judged. We want them to be welcome, not separated. We want them to understand God loves them and we love them, see? That's how we can help them more than anything else. And you may be fully able to comprehend, to grasp, to realize, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God's plan and purpose for us. Isn't that something? And this doesn't come all at once. This comes a bit at a time, a bit at a time, a bit at a time. See? And to know the love of Christ which surpasses human knowledge. And notice this. This is our destiny. This is the predestination that God put in his plan for those who answer his call will receive right here. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the destiny, brother. Filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice, it's going to be done. Verse 20. Now to him who is able, that is, has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's working in us. So it's going to be an amazing thing at the resurrection, isn't it? Yes, indeed. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now let's finish by coming back to chapter 1 again. And let's see Paul's prayer for us. And I think these words are absolutely inspiring, eloquent, uplifting, and sustaining in everything. Verse 15. For this cause, the whole cause of what he wrote here in the first part and all the rest in the book of Ephesians, I also, after hearing of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is among you, and the love toward all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what it means to grow in grace and knowledge. And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the inner working of his mighty power. And as he was writing these things, he was in chains. I'm amazed at the tremendous inspiration that God gave him in spite of those circumstances, according to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand into heavenly places, far above every principality and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, the kingdom of God. For he has subordinated all things under his feet and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so this is how, brethren, we can have the spiritual strength and love and endurance and hope and faith to face whatever may come, however it may fall, and that we can, brethren, encourage others. There are going to be a lot of people going to need some encouragement, need some understanding, and you can be one of those to help them. So let's all stay close to God, grow and overcome, and help as many as we can. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.